I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and it is Thursday, October 14th, which means we've got some NFL football tonight. In fact, an exciting game for this podcast because the Eagles are in primetime, but more importantly, they get to go up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Defending Super Bowl champions head to Philadelphia as 7-point favorites with an over-under of 52.5. To break down everything from a gambling perspective, from a DFS perspective, which, by the way, will be after the podcast. The audio podcast will end. If you want our DFS insight, discussion, what lineups we're looking at, go to youtube.com/pick6. Subscribe. And you will get an alert every time we have one of those shows up. It's going to be YouTube only for DFS, so we can go in and out of it. But to look at gambling, props, et cetera, Tyler Sullivan, a.k.a. Sully. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Will? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, sir. Do we end up being right on the...
We did well. I had a few of our lineups set up in DraftKings. We were doing all right for ourselves.
Were you flirting with some big cash?
And it's always the weird one. It's always the weird one. So when you guys tune into the DFS portion, you could almost mute us until we get to the weird stuff, where it's just like, yep, we don't know if this is going to happen. We're going to just throw it against the wall, and it sticks. Because I had Jonathan Taylor as the captain, and boy, oh boy, was that fun.
Yeah, I had let's see. I'm trying to look at see which one. I mean, not that we want to recap all the DFS stuff. That would be, we'll recap the DFS stuff when we start the DFS of the program. Instead, let's dive in and talk about this matchup. I'll just tell you this. I ain't betting the under. I don't know if I should bet the over, but I'm not betting the under. I was reading over at Establish a Run, Pat Thorman, who is a fantastic football writer, has been for a long time, writes snaps and pace for a bunch of teams for every single week. Here are some trends for the Buccaneers and Eagles game. Tampa is the ninth fastest situation neutral pace in the NFL, meaning, within like 7 points of, the game's within 7 points. What are they doing? Tampa likes to pass, or they like to run quick, right? And they even had their slowest game against Miami. Bucs games produce the most plays in the NFL, 131 per pop on average, and the second most points per game in the NFL, 57.5 on average. Opponents are passing at a 76% rate against the Bucs defense. That is, we say that the Bucs are a pass funnel. That is an insane number.
Crazy.
The Cowboys are second at 65%. Opponents are passing at a 76% rate. That's wild, man. The Eagles already passed at the seventh highest clip in the NFL anyway, and now they're going to go up against the number one pass funnel in the NFL. The Eagles also run the seventh most snaps in the NFL and are first in situation neutral pace. Now, that situation neutral pace is important because the Eagles have been trailing in a lot of games, forcing them to pass a lot and taking Miles Sanders out of the game script and game flow. And it's possible this happens tonight. Maybe we'll get some of that in the player props. But certainly this game profiles Sully as a high-scoring affair. I don't think you can bet the under. I couldn't bet the under in this one. I could, however, with the loss of Rob Gronkowski is out. Lavonte David is out. Antoine Winfield Jr. is out. So the secondary for the Bucs is ravaged. Again, not getting in front of the over, but I will get involved with the Eagles +7.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I am leaning towards the over as well. You talked about it. The Buccaneers have the most yards per play, plays in the entire NFL there. But you look at both of the Buccaneers and the Philadelphia Eagles, both those offenses are inside the top 10 in yards per play this season, right around like 6.3, 6.1 yards per play this season. Both of these offenses can move the ball. And you know, even if you look at it from a standpoint of, well, we don't know what Philadelphia is going to look like. Their defense was great in week 5. They, you know, forced 3 interceptions off of Sam Darnold. They held them down. They were able to come back and win that game. They looked really strong. You know, you can say, okay, you know, that's fine. You know, all right, whatever. But you can also say that might not be exactly who they are. I mean, you look at the last previous 2 weeks before that game, they were putting up 40-plus points against the Cowboys and the Chiefs. And I would argue that this Buccaneers offense is a little bit closer to those offenses than what we saw against the Carolina Panthers.
Absolutely. Tom Brady has more passing yards through 5 weeks than he did in 2007 when he shattered every conceivable record on the planet. If you notice that, yes, it is Bucks minus 7 at Eagles, not Eagles minus 7. That is the wish casting of producer Devo.
It'll be minus 7 by the end of the game.
If I'm taking Eagles plus 7 before the game, and by the way, at Caesars, that Eagles plus 7 is up to minus 120, meaning that it is, I would guess, likely to move to 6.5 if it moves. I don't think it'll go to, it's not going to 7.5. I think a lot of people are on the Eagles in this spot. So
I was going to say, if you're telling me that's hitting 6.5, I am hammering that for the Buccaneers.
You like Buccaneers minus 6.5?
I like the Buccaneers here. I do.
If you like the Bucs, you can wait on it, I think.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm going to wait if that's the case here. But the Eagles, what we've seen recently, and again, this is kind of, you know, you're cherry picking these trends a little bit, but they're 1-5 against the spread and following a win in their last 6 games. So whenever they win, they kind of, you know, maybe take their foot off the gas a little bit, and these opponents are, you know, maybe the betting public kind of jumps on them a little too much and things get a little too excited. Again, it's huge market Philadelphia, so maybe that's what kind of shifts the line a little bit. But ultimately, again, they don't have the greatest track record against the spread following a win.
It's interesting because Philly should have covered against the Chiefs. They lost by 12, but the game was a lot closer than that, and there was a fluky, crazy Tyreek Hill, the third touchdown catch that ended up with the Chiefs covering. And they probably shouldn't have covered or won against the Panthers. The Panthers beat them for 55 minutes, and then, there was like a block. I don't know what happened. The Panthers.
Jalen Hurts has rushed for touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was helping my fantasy team. That's all I cared about. I looked up and I was like, hey, all right, here we go.
Well, and Jalen Hurts is, I believe, has through 5 weeks is 5 for 5 in terms of top 10 fantasy quarterback performances. Even though he's not necessarily flashing as he didn't look like Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers in terms of his passing ability. He's piling up so much on the ground that it just makes him a viable fantasy option every single week. And he'll probably end up being a top, you know, I mean, he's certainly going to end the season as a QB1 barring injury. You know, he had 2 rushing touchdowns last week. Completed less than 60% of his passes, no passing touchdowns, less than 200 passing yards, no, you know, 1 passing interception. It doesn't matter when you're running for 30 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's just the reality of it.
Yeah, and again, going back to what I was saying about, you know, both of these offenses and really the Philadelphia defense, you know, we don't know exactly what they are, but if we're looking at it, the over, you know, if they are something, you know, that we saw week three and week four. I mean, it's not going to take much for this Philadelphia offense to help kick us the rest of the way. If the Buccaneers, who we just saw last week, able to put up 40-plus points, again, I'm not predicting that they're going to do that, but again, they have the capability to do that, and this defense that they're going up against has a history of allowing teams to completely go off. So again, you know, I don't know if it's going to be, you know, Buccaneers plus 7, or, you know, they're going to cover this minus 7 if they're really going to get over there. To me, what I like the most tonight is the over on this, just because you can get there in so many different ways. You can get there from both of these offenses going off against one another, or it could just be a complete dominating effort by, let's just say, either the Philadelphia Eagles because of this Buccaneers secondary not being particularly well, or the Eagles revert back to what we saw the previous 2 weeks other than week 5, and it's just another Tom Brady 5 touchdown performance.
Also of note, on for injury purposes, Lane Johnson, I believe, is out for
personal reasons.
Again. He was out for a personal matter. He's missed 2 weeks in a row. They are not even addressing it, what it is. And that's okay. You know, it's a personal matter. Take care of yourself. Take care of your head. Take care of your family. Whatever you got to do, Lane. Dallas Goedert also seems very unlikely to play. I believe he tested positive for COVID. He is vaccinated. So that means he needs two negative tests 24 hours apart. He was placed on the COVID list on Tuesday evening. So he would have to get a negative test on Wednesday and a negative test on Thursday and also exhibit no COVID symptoms for 48 consecutive hours. This is the reality of 2021 and really the last 2 years. Maybe more importantly, more importantly is Dallas Goedert's health and that he gets back. But for our purposes, for betting and for DFS and for props, you need to keep an eye on whether Dallas Goedert ends up playing when he's ruled out as of Thursday. It'll probably be, you know, if he doesn't pass a test on Wednesday, it won't matter. You know,
right. The best case scenario for us, again, from the betting standpoint, the DFS standpoint, it's almost if he like fails the test on Wednesday. So then you know for certain, rather than him, you know, passing it on Wednesday and then failing it on Thursday, and then all of a sudden you're scrambling. At least you would have some sort of an idea.
I would guess that he, so just to pull back the curtain, we record this on Wednesday afternoons. I would guess that on Wednesday evening, around 4:30 or 5 o'clock, they give him a COVID test, because then you have to, then if he passes that one, first of all, you want to push it back as far as you can. Then you have 24 hours. You run another one between 4:30 and 5 p.m. on Thursday, and that gives you time.
You almost treat it like an inactive or in a pregame warm-up type of thing. That's exactly Essentially what you're going to be doing.
You try and get the test results in before inactives are due and before guys come out to warm up. So so it's a tough situation in terms of the timing of it. It does seem like he is likely to miss, which would put Zach Ertz in a much more featured role. All of the other it was Andre Dillard, Landon Dickerson, Jason Kelsey, Jack Driscoll, and Jordan Mailata were the offensive linemen for the Eagles. They are all good to go. So Philly should have its full non-Lane Johnson complement of guys that they had against Carolina. They did a pretty good job. I mean, the Panthers defense was impressive. My point being is that for the Buccaneer, for Philly and Jalen Hurts, you need to have that offensive line there to protect Hurts against what is a dangerous front that Tampa has. Without Levante David, they'll still have Devin White, of course. I think you can make the case that if Nick Sirianni decides to utilize read option and RPOs more, which he did against Carolina a little bit, and he did also in week one against Atlanta, we've seen him make those featured parts of the offense for Jalen Hurts. If you do that, you have a good chance of pulling off an upset here, even though, you know, your defense has to stop Tom Brady, who, by the way, is dealing with a banged up thumb. How, on a scale of 1 to 10, Sully, as a Tom Brady enthusiast, how would you rate your concern for Tom Brady with a thumb injury?
I honestly wouldn't put it that high. Again, I've seen this guy.
I'm zero. I don't care.
Yeah, I've seen, you know, I'll just say like a, you know, 1.2 just to really tie it all together. I'm not really that concerned about it, just because I've seen this guy for 20 years up close in New England play through a lot of things. And again, it's a little bit different this time because he's actually talking about it, which is crazy. This is just, I think, the Tampa version of Tom Brady. But when he was in New England, didn't really talk about it too much. But again, you remember that AFC Championship game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, didn't even know if he was going to play in that game because he sliced up his hand so bad against, I think it was against Rex Burkhead or something, you know, hitting Rex Burkhead's helmet. And, you know, you see later on, that thing was gashed. It was disgusting. I can't imagine that this, whatever this thumb injury is anything close to that game. And he still played and played well towards the tail end. So to me, I'm not overly concerned.
Okay. It's at least on my radar.
Oh, for sure. Maybe, I mean, it's something
maybe,
that you.
Maybe more on my radar for, and of course, you know, let's get to the prop. Oh, yeah, we'll take a break because it's on my radar. It's not on my radar necessarily for the Bucs. Because I think the only way that Tom Brady's throwing less because of his thumb is if the Bucs have a big lead. So and maybe that's important for backdoor purposes for Philly, where they would – I don't think they'll put in Blaine Gabbert or Kyle Trask in the third quarter or anything, but I think they'd be willing to maybe be more aggressive in how they use Leonard Fournette, maybe Ronald Jones. I don't know, who knows how they use that running rushing attack to try and win the game. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, props, gambling, props.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okay, so the one that stood out to me for props immediately, Sully, Tom Brady and his passing yards. And I don't know if it's stood out to you too. I can't, I'm no. Yes, it did. We both agree. Tom Brady over passing yards, 298.5 on Caesars. That number should be in the 300s.
Easy. I mean, he's gone over that. He's gone over that number three out of the five times he's played this season. You're going up against a defense that has shown that they can, you know, again, put the deep ball up. We were just talking before the break here. Is there a little bit concern for that thumb injury? I guess, you know, maybe that limits him a little bit, but I don't think that, I think more than anything, that would limit his total pass attempts than it would his actual passing yard total. We've seen guys this year really not throw for, you know, that many times and put up a chunk of yards. So it's not like he has to do this by dropping back 50 times in a game. He can do this not relatively easy, but he can do this, you know, chunk plays and things of that nature. So to me, yeah, I'm right there with you. I love this, especially when it's under 300 yards. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, this was an official Brinson looks down in the middle of the podcast to get his bet in. And to actually get a bet in on a prop because he's worried that it'll keep moving up. And I have 301.5 juiced 125 to the over, and I don't care. I'll take it up to like 305, really. It should be like 335. I mean, you can't make it 335. Yeah,
you can't make it that way, but I know what you mean.
But I mean, it does feel like that could be this is a situation where I would not be surprised at anything under 305.5, I think I would take the over on Tom Brady passing yards. Looking around at the market, for whatever reason, this local thing I got, the props area is like sharper, I guess. I don't know. But I see 297.5 out there as well. So that's a good number right there for Tom Brady at 297.5. It's one where, honestly, maybe we should tweet it out from the Pick Six Pod account, or I'll tweet it out and note that it's a good prop to take now because I would guess that climbs at William Hill or at Caesars, excuse me, and other places above 300 by kickoff tomorrow, unless there's some serious news about Tom Brady's hand. He's there.
Well, I actually think it's going to be the opposite. Well, I think, it, you know, if we start to hear positive news where it's like full practice, no worries, no concern, you know, he's good to go. That's what's really going to shoot this thing up. I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, you're right. If it's like, and I think Wednesday he was listed as full practice with a thumb injury, and right thumb is concerning, but see, Tom Brady will be all right. Okay. He's going to stretch a thumb out, get Alex Guerrero to do some little thumb stretches, and then he'll
just dip it in some guac before the game,
dip it in some guac, like hand mash some guac for Giselle before he heads over to the stadium. I guess it's in Philadelphia, so that wouldn't be the case, but you get the point. What else do you like in the prop market, Sully?
Well, right now, again, like we're saying, you got to obviously monitor this a little bit to see what happens with Dallas Goedert. But Zach Ertz, 41 and a half receiving yards. I mean, I just love the over on that because you're talking about somebody who's already somewhat of a piece in the offense. He's gone over this number two of his last three games, and you're only going to see more in a game that we expect to be a lot of passing and a lot in a high-scoring affair. I mean, this is one where Zach Ertz, again, is he the Zach Ertz of old and someone that we've grown to love, and Debo probably has a tattoo of him somewhere, you know, then probably not. He hasn't been that guy.
Unnecessary. I like it.
But he's just a guy that, again, they're going to feature him in this offense, I think, especially if Goddard's not playing. And that's, again, just someone where I think that number is a little too low. I think it's kind of sitting where we don't know what's going to happen with Goddard. And honestly, maybe you hit it now if you just feel confident in him.
Well, I don't know if you can see it, Sully, but it is actually up to 44 and a half.
Well, see, there we go. I had it at 41. Come on.
Well, no, I agree. I had it 43 and a half. Like, we said a minute differently. It all depends on, man, that is a big jump, isn't it? Yeah, it all depends on what happens
But that's basically my point. Like, you know, a lot of people are jumping on this. They're probably feeling like, hey, listen, this is a really tight window that Goddard needs to fit to be able to play. Let me get in on this now before once he's officially out, this thing's going to skyrocket. So, again, one to really just keep an eye on it. And, again, if you start to see it like it's climbing now, maybe you jump on before it gets out of whack too much.
Yeah, I don't know that this is going to go – I mean, I don't think it's going to go up to – I don't see this going up past 46 and a half, more than likely. Like, if you told me that Zach Ertz had, you know, 50 receiving yards against the Bucs, I would be impressed. But I mean, look, it's entirely possible with no Dallas Goedert out there. Ertz has been a favorite. You know, Jalen Hurts is not afraid to target tight ends, right? We see a lot of targets on tight ends. I would actually bet there's a little bit of buyback on this under, so maybe you could be cautious and wait and see if it dips back down. I mean, it sounds crazy, but there's a massive, massive difference between 41 and a half and 44 and a half. You're talking, what, like 8% in terms of your window there. And just the way that these props work, man, especially when you're taking overs, we've seen it. We got torched on it, what, like 2 weeks ago, or was it the Chargers game that we got smoked on it?
I believe
Chargers Raiders game where it felt like it was about to pop out and go to an over game. And it's just, you have to be a little bit careful on some of those, but I agree with you. I had that listed as one of mine as well. I also listed along with Ertz. Mike Evans. We can go to Buccaneers over under Mike Evans over 67 and a half receiving yards, and I like Chris Godwin over 66 and a half receiving yards. Again, we you and I tend to, you know, maybe a little more donkey-ish, but that's fine. We tend to lean towards these over. We just lean towards the overs. A lot of smarter prop bettors will tell you that you should bet unders more frequently, and that's fine. I actually don't even mind that parlay there. In fact, leave that parlay up. You can see it on the screen at youtube.com. Don't bet that parlay. Because if you go to and you're betting on Caesars, they have an odds boost of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin over 63 and a half yards each at 3.5 to 1. If you bet their normal one, you get 66 and a half over, and it was only plus 265. So very nice little bet there if you want to get in on an odds boost, a 3-to-1 parlay on Godwin and Mike Evans going over those numbers. I mean, it doesn't have to happen, obviously, but I think there's a pretty good chance that the Buccaneers will be playing fast, that they'll be passing, that they'll be pushing it downfield. And Darius Slay's been really good. I don't know that he's going to lock down Mike Evans, who's playing awesome football the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. Again, we're talking about it with Brady, and we're talking about it in the game overall, that this is going to be a pretty pass-heavy game that we predict, and we're saying Brady's going to go over, so obviously we got to look at some of these receivers here. I actually like Antonio Brown a little bit more than those guys. I think he's at least I have him down at 62 and a half. I don't know where he is now, but
yeah, you know, 63 and a half, but yeah.
63 and a half, okay. But I mean, you know, from the 62 and a half, I believe he's gone over that the last two games. He's had 19 targets over the last two games.
Yep.
So to me, you know, again, he's someone who Tom Brady loves throwing to. They have a relationship. Rob Gronkowski is going to be out of this game, so there's more targets to go around. So to me, again, Antonio Brown, he has that capability we've seen this year of just completely popping off because Mike Evans is so good and Chris Godwin is so good. These you know, these defenses and these secondaries are focusing in on them. So Antonio Brown's getting the number three corner on a weekly basis, and Brady loves throwing to him. So to me, that one makes a lot of sense in a game that we anticipate to be high scoring and high passing.
Yeah, just to point out too, with Mike Evans, last four games, 9.8 targets per game, which is that's a lot of volume for Mike Evans, especially compared to last year. 6.5 receptions per game, 92.3 yards per game over four games against Atlanta. Terrible defense. The Rams, good defense. Pats, in theory, a good defense in the rain, no less. And of course, the Miami Dolphins, and with two bomb fourth quarter touchdowns, just because the Dolphins dared to get it within 7 points. It's like, I'm sorry, did you mess with us? Die! And just cascading fire down upon them. Tom Brady was late in that game. Also, hadn't played below 73% of the snaps against Atlanta in a 20 point blowout. 78% of the snaps in a 30 point blowout against Miami. And, you know, if it's a close game at all, Mike Evans will be getting fed. And you just can't, like, with the way the Bucs operate when you take these overs, you have to assume that they're going to pass regardless of game script, which is what they've shown us.
Yeah. Now, Bruce Arians has always been that aggressive style.
Yeah, and Tom Brady, his intended air yards this year and last year is way up over his final 2 years in New England. They don't think you have the next gen stats before that, but you get the point. I like those overs. I will also dabble on the Tom Brady over rushing yards, 1.5.
Yeah,
Needs a sneak where he pushes forward for 2 yards.
Easy.
And while we're here, Tom Brady anytime touchdown, 8.5 to 1.
It's pretty good. I like it.
Give me a pass interference. I'm trying to think. I don't feel like they've snuck him as much in Tampa Bay.
No, I feel like they did a little bit more last year than they did. You know, I just remember him doing it in New Orleans week one and just, you know, him just really, you know, being demonstrative in that game. But like, he has that capability. They get in the goal line. I know they have, you know, I know they have Lenny, they have Ronald Jones. They can even give it to Gio Bernard if they want to. I mean, they have guys that can, you know, be factors here. But again, if you're telling me that this is a game without Rob Gronkowski, someone who he looks at a ton in the red zone, then sure. Yeah, I don't hate that at all.
Yeah, with no Gronk, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we mentioned they have Darius Slay, but this is not exactly a studly secondary for the Eagles. It's entirely possible that Mike Evans is beating somebody downfield in the end zone. There's a huge PI, first and goal on the one. They sprint down there and they punch it in for a touchdown with Tom Brady diving into the end zone. So let's look at, you got anybody else? Any other props you want to add there?
So I like this one that Debo has right here, which look at the quarterbacks and kind of a rushing standpoint. Jalen Hurts rushing attempts. I see that it's down to 7.5 now. Oh. I had it at 8.5 and it was at plus money. To me, he's flirted around that number pretty much all season, 8, 9, 10. He's been around there. And if you're talking about a game where I think offense is going to be so heavily featured and he's going to be under siege a little bit with that Buccaneers pass rush, again, they're not going to run the ball a ton. We know that about this team, but he's someone that can still, you know, get flushed out of the pocket, create 2-3 opportunities where he's just going to get rushing attempts off that alone. But they're still going to use him as a runner. That is one of the best parts of his game, Jalen Hurts, is what he can do with his legs, maybe particularly around the goal line there, like we saw last week. So to me, you know, I like this from a standpoint of, again, he's going to be running around, a lot of pressure. I could so see this thing going up over. And I do love it at 7.5 because I don't think he's ever – don't believe it's been 7. I think it's been around, you know, 8, 9, 10 rushing attempts.
Week 1, 7, then 10, 9, 8, 9. Yeah. And again, what you're hoping for on a short week against a defense that's banged up and that you feel like you can create some matchup advantages, especially with a good, you know, they have a good, make their defensive line work harder. Yep. Build some RPOs in there, build some read option stuff in there, and give Jalen Hurts some runs and sort of open things up, get him comfortable early in that game. I like it over 7.5. Rushing attempts. Look at the Bills with Josh Allen in that, you know, that Chiefs game. His attempts have gotten down. It's a primetime game. It's a huge game for Philly. Like, you pull off that upset, and all of a sudden Nick Sirianni. You get even Debo saying nice things about Nick Sirianni. So I'll back that. I like that over, especially at 7.5, even if it is heavily juiced. Okay, first touchdown scorer. We'll hit this, and then we'll. They've opened up some of the markets on here on Caesars. And again, you can see these on youtube.com/pick6. They were locked up earlier. I think it was probably the Gronk factor as well as Dallas Goedert factor. They were trying to figure out, you know, how to price those guys and how to price everybody else. So Leonard Fournette +625, Mike Evans 6.5 to 1, Chris Godwin 7.5 to 1, Antonio Brown 8 to 1, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, and Miles Sanders all 9.5 to 1. Those are the top skill guys, and they're all under 10. I don't really love any of those. I would suggest that maybe Jalen Hurts out of that group is worth it.
Yeah, that's the one that I have listed. Again, you know, just out of that first chunk of guys, Jalen Hurts to me, like I was just saying about him, you know, they're going to use his legs in some capacity in this game just to keep Tampa Bay honest. And like we saw last week, it's not like they're afraid to, you know, call his number. He's not afraid to call his own number to try to get six. So to me, that one, again, out of anybody in that first chunk that you want to feel confident in, to me, it would be Jalen Hurts. But, you know, just to go back a little bit to what we were talking about, I like scrolling down a little bit further to Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I had him at +4,000. I don't know where he's at now.
41, Tom Brady.
My goodness. I mean, you know, again, that is quite the number.
And, oh, it's chopped. We did it again, Sully.
Look at us.
We're not even live. How do they know?
They're on. They're bugged either my house or your house or both of our houses. I don't know what's going on here. But
photos for some hidden mics, hidden cams.
I just love that number because, you know, again, Brady is the best that we've seen at that QB sneak at the one on the goal line. So again, like you said, PI brings it down to the one. You could totally see a scenario where, again, they just say, listen, Tom, put your head down, follow your guy and get in.
The ones I would take on this market, I mentioned Jalen Hurts. I think at 9.5 to 1 is kind of worth it just because of how much they'll use him if the Eagles get down there in the red zone. Zach Ertz, too, at 14 to 1 is a pretty fair price, assuming, of course, that Dallas Goedert is out. Jalen Reagor, 15 to 1, doesn't do it for me. I need 20 to 1 or better. Same for Quez Watkins. Those guys could be the deep ball recipient. It could absolutely happen. I just would want something closer to 20 to 1. Kenneth Gainwell is interesting because if you get and the same for Gio Bernard, right?
Yep.
Gio Bernard 22 to 1, Kenneth Gainwell 20 to 1. If you get a situation where either the Eagles or the Bucks are it's third down in the red zone, they've shown that when they're in these passing downs, they want Gainwell, they want Gio in there. And Gio has been a pretty sneaky little red zone target for Tom Brady because you get the three receivers running out there, defenses are locking in on him, and you can just leak Gio out of the backfield, and it's a quick, easy throw, and you see him diving into the end zone.
He's made that play forever. I've seen it with James White, Shane Vereen, Kevin Falk. I mean, you know, that is a situation that Tom Brady loves to throw to, not just in Tampa. This is something that he's been doing for a long time.
Absolutely. So I'm sort of on board with you. I would go with the two third down backs and the two quarterbacks, I think, here.
Yeah.
And the only reason, I mean, again, Hurts at 9.5 to 1 is just, it's not a great price. But you'd like to have like 12 to 1 for him, but he's such a rushing threat in the red. They'll just use him in the red zone to rush in there. All right. That's it for the gambling show, the breakdown of the Thursday night football game between the Eagles and the Buccaneers. We will, as we mentioned, have a DFS separate or an add-on to the actual podcast on youtube.com/pick6. So if you want to go watch that, go to youtube.com/pick6. Even if you don't want to watch it, go hit the subscribe button at youtube.com/pick6 because we are giving away a bunch of Brinson Sucks hats or something like that. So go check it out. For Sully, I'm Brinson. We'll talk to you guys later.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.